This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Imagine watching like an entire globally dominant tech sector completely plunge into a bear market during the exact same week its biggest manufacturers announced just absolute blowout earnings. I mean, unprecedented growth projections.
Right. It's completely counterintuitive.
Yeah. You're looking at a market where the hardware companies are essentially printing money while the investors who actually value the ecosystem are just sprinting for the exits.
It is a really profound disconnect. I mean, when you see a divergence that severe between actual hardware revenue and broader market sentiment, you aren't just looking at a slight market correction.
Yeah.
You're watching the fundamental economic models of an entire industry just being rewritten in real time.
Exactly. And we're going to map out exactly how those rules are changing for you today. So this deep dive centers around the Global AI News Briefing for July 20, 2026. This material was provided and commentated on by lawyer Kyungjin Kim, a former lawmaker, and it presents this really fascinating stack of seemingly scattered dots.
And we're going to connect them.
Right. We'll trace the shifting subscription costs of top AI models, unpack how one specific open weight release sent this massive shockwave through the global semiconductor market, and then explore the ecosystem on display at a huge AI conference in Shanghai.
Don't forget the legal side.
Yes, finishing up with a very strict legal deadline dropping on businesses literally tomorrow.
Yeah, and the overarching theme lawyer Kyungjin Kim establishes in the commentary really gives us the perfect lens for all of this.
How so?
Well, the core technology of AI isn't disappearing, right? It's not slowing down or failing. But the price, the perceived value, and specifically who gets to extract that value, are undergoing this violent readjustment.
Like a massive market correction on value, not tech.
Exactly. Think of the electronic calculator. When it came out, people didn't stop doing math. The demand for calculating didn't just vanish, but the electronic calculator absolutely annihilated the abacus industry.
Well, yeah.
The service remained, but the premium pricing model completely collapsed.
That is a great way to look at it, because to understand the global market panic we are seeing, we really need to look at the new price tags on the world's top AI models. The era of the cheap lunch at the bleeding edge of AI is just, well, it's officially over.
It really is.
Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 just ended its free usage window. It used to be included in some paid plans, but as of midnight Pacific time on July 19th, it went to a strict pay-as-you-go metered billing system. And the numbers are steep. We're talking $10 per 1 million input tokens and $50 for output.
Which is exactly double the cost of Anthropic's previous flagship, Opus 4.8.
Wait, really? Double?
Yeah, double. You are paying a massive premium for that top-tier reasoning. And the tokenomics here are super crucial to understand. For most models, processing the input is computationally way cheaper than generating the response.
Right.
So by pricing the output at $50, Anthropic is heavily taxing developers who use the model for like massive generative tasks.
Right.
Writing long code bases, producing massive reports, that sort of thing.
And the timing is highly suspicious too, right? Because there are all these reports from the developer community about an unannounced Opus 5 model briefly showing up on the Cursor coding platform this week.
I saw that. Anthropic hasn't confirmed it, obviously.
Right. But locking down the Fable 5 pricing structure, right, as a potentially even more powerful model leaks, it really suggests that top-tier proprietary labs are deliberately trying to push the ceiling for enterprise pricing even higher.
They're absolutely trying to establish a luxury tier for AI reasoning. But what makes this situation so volatile right now is this counterforce that emerged on the other side of the world in the exact same week.
Yes. China's Moonshot AI just dropped the official pricing and performance docs for their new open-weight model, Kimi K3. The pricing is $3 for 1 million input tokens and $15 for output.
Which is fascinating because within the Chinese AI ecosystem, Kimi K3 is actually positioned as a premium product.
Oh, really? At $3?
Yeah, it's the most expensive lab model on their domestic market right now. It's priced roughly in the same tier as Claude Sonnet. So Moonshot is pivoting away from that race to the bottom on price and confidently charging based on performance.
But when you look at that performance relative to the global market, it's crazy. The internal benchmarks confirm Kimi K3 beats Claude Opus 4.8 Max and GPT 5.5 High. It sits just a fraction behind the ultra-expensive Claude Fable 5 and GPT 5.6 5 Sun.
It even took first place in the Arena.ai front-end coding tier. It outperformed Fable 5 entirely there.
So if I'm a developer listening to this, you're telling me I can pay luxury car prices for Fable 5 or get 90% of the performance or better from Kimi K3 for the price of a bus ticket. How do I manage this today? If my team is hooked on the Fable 5 free tier, I've got a major cost management issue.
It's a huge headache, and lawyer Kyungjin Kim's briefing outlines very specific actionable steps you need to take immediately. First thing, audit your default models.
Okay, check default.
Right. If your team's cloud desktop app or your IDEs are locked onto Fable 5 by default, every minor call you make today is draining your credits at that premium rate. You are literally paying $50 a million tokens for the model to do basic formatting.
Ouch. So the strategy is to forcefully push those basic tasks down the stack, right? Like if a developer needs a log parsed or a quick translation, route that to smaller, cheaper models like Haiku or Sonnet.
Exactly. Fable 5 should be gated. Reserve it strictly for the heavy lifting. We are talking multi-step logical reasoning or really complex code refactoring, where the human cost of the model making a mistake is higher than the token cost.
Yeah, and because that output cost is 5 times higher than the input, prompt engineering basically becomes an exercise in financial restraint. You can't ask a luxury tier model to rewrite an entire 5-page document if you just need to fix one paragraph.
You really have to constrain the output length in the prompt itself. And if you don't track the speed at which your team is burning through these credits today, like reverse engineer your weekly limits, you are going to be in for a catastrophic billing shock at the end of the month.
Right. But, okay, let's zoom out. If developers suddenly start aggressively optimizing API usage and migrating workloads to vastly cheaper open weight alternatives like Kimi K3, that cash flow stops feeding the Western hyperscalers, right? The Googles, the Microsofts.
And that exact realization is what hit Wall Street this week, like a freight train.
The financial fallout is staggering. So the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index plunged 11% last week. It hit a 24% drop from its late June peak. It is officially in a technical bear market. The iShares Semiconductor ETF is also down 20%.
And we really have to unpack the mechanism here, because a lot of people are probably wondering, you know, how does the release of one Chinese open weight software model trigger a massive sell-off in hardware stocks?
Right, what's the link?
Well, the entire valuation of these chip companies was built on a very specific assumption that Western hyperscalers would maintain absolute pricing power. Wall Street believed Google and Microsoft would always be able to charge massive premiums for proprietary AI.
Because if they can charge massive premiums, they generate infinite cash flow to continuously buy the world's most expensive semiconductors to build bigger data centers.
Exactly. But Kimi K3 proved that an open-weight architecture can achieve top-tier reasoning without that proprietary walled garden. It commoditizes the capability. If hyperscalers can't charge $50 per million tokens because a $15 open-weight alternative is just as good, their margins collapse.
And if their margins collapse, they can't afford to keep placing multi-billion dollar orders for next-gen chips.
Precisely.
Which brings us to the massive paradox in the current market data. Because the index is crashing, but the companies physically manufacturing the chips are reporting incredible numbers. TSMC and ASML completely crushed market expectations. TSMC just raised its 2026 revenue growth forecast to over 40%.
It's wild.
They bumped capital expenditures to a whopping $64 billion. They're performing exceptionally well today.
Today, yes. But the stock market does not price companies based on today's fulfilled orders. It's a forward-looking mechanism.
Okay, so it's looking ahead.
Right. The orders driving TSMC's 40% growth were placed quarters or even years ago by hyperscalers who assumed the proprietary software model would stay dominant.
Ah, I see.
The drop we are seeing in the semiconductor index is Wall Street pricing in the cancellation of tomorrow's orders. It is a sudden, violent loss of faith in the 5-year outlook for AI infrastructure spending.
That makes total sense. And the industry quotes in the briefing capture this shift perfectly. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong pointed out that open source models are now only about 6 months behind the absolute top proprietary labs, but they're up to 99% cheaper to run.
Which means enterprise workloads will inevitably migrate, right? The unit economics demand it. You just can't justify the enterprise API costs if the open weight equivalent runs locally for a fraction of the price.
Right. And then the Trotha co-founder Nikhil Kamath drew an even sharper comparison. He said if you shorted all private AI stocks right now, basically betting against the current valuations of the companies building these proprietary models, you'd be highly profitable in 5 years.
Yeah, both Kamath and Armstrong are explicitly comparing this dynamic to the 2000.com bubble.
Wow. Because the technology of the internet was undeniably real in 2000, it did change the economy, but the initial infrastructure valuations were just completely untethered from the eventual business models.
Exactly the same thing here. The intelligence is real, but the assumption that proprietary labs will capture all the financial value is just disintegrating.
So to understand why Kimi K3 isn't just some one-off fluke, we have to look at the ecosystem that produced it, which was just on full display in Shanghai.
Yep, the World Artificial Intelligence Conference, WAIC 2026, just concluded its four-day run there, and it provides a window into an entirely different approach to AI development.
The scale is massive. Over 300,000 on-site visitors, 57 core application scenarios established, and a staggering 16.2 billion yuan in intentional cooperation agreements.
But the underlying mechanics of what is happening there are far more important than the raw numbers. The academic momentum is just accelerating. Turing Award winner Andrew Yao led a new session called WAIC Academic, featuring 284 papers.
And these aren't just incremental updates, right?
No, they represent a massive grassroots push into fundamental AI research, focusing heavily on architectural efficiency. Think about it. When you face U.S. export controls on top-tier compute, your academic ecosystem is forced to innovate on algorithmic efficiency, distillation techniques, mixture of experts routing. They are learning how to hit GPT-5-level performance using vastly less hardware.
That is fascinating. And that academic efficiency is feeding directly into a very specific demographic of entrepreneurs. Look at the startup ecosystem data from the event. Out of 1,200 global projects, they shortlisted 180. Over 70% of those top startups are less than 3 years old. But here is the mind-blowing stat. More than half of the founders were born in the 1990s.
That generational shift is everything. We are looking at an entirely new cohort of founders who are native to open source ecosystems.
They grew up on GitHub and Hugging Face.
Exactly. They have no interest in building a company that relies entirely on an API key from some Silicon Valley tech giant. They are totally comfortable downloading open weights, fine-tuning them locally for specific industrial applications, and deploying them without the massive overhead of a proprietary lab.
Right, like manufacturing supply chains or robotics.
Yeah. The agility of a 20-something founder building natively on a cheap open weight model makes a legacy tech giant with thousands of employees and massive data center overhead look incredibly slow.
It really is an existential threat to the legacy business model. But while these young founders are racing to deploy these models and Wall Street is panicking over the hardware, there's a completely different kind of roadblock appearing on the legal side.
Oh, yeah. A major one.
Because the agility of being a young, open-weight startup doesn't excuse you from regulatory compliance. While developers argue over API costs, the legal hammer is dropping tomorrow.
We are pivoting from the frictionless world of tech development to the rigid reality of government regulation. South Korea's AI Framework Act enforcement decree takes effect tomorrow, July 21st.
The main legislative act has been in place since January, right?
Yes, but this decree provides the actual enforcement mechanisms and legal definitions. And the central pillar of this enforcement revolves around the legal classification of what they call high-impact AI.
And the decree defines this pretty broadly as any AI system that deeply affects public life and safety. It explicitly targets things like medical diagnostics, autonomous driving, robo-advisors managing financial investments, hiring algorithms. If your system touches these areas, you are subjected to incredibly strict transparency, auditing, and safety obligations.
The danger here lies in just how broad a net the government is casting.
Right. Let me push back on that for a second. Looking at the specifics of the Korean decree, what if a developer builds an AI that just summarizes complex medical journals for doctors? The AI isn't diagnosing anyone, it's organizing text. The human doctor still makes the clinical decision and holds the liability. From an engineering standpoint, it's just a text processing tool. How can the government classify a summarizer as high impact and subject it to the same safety audits as a self-driving car?
That is exactly the friction point where technology meets the law, and I'll tell you, the government's stance is unforgiving. Lawyer Kingjin Kim issues a very stark warning in the commentary here. You absolutely cannot assume your engineering logic will protect you from a legal classification.
Right.
The government can argue that if a doctor relies on your summary, a hallucination in your text processing tool could lead to a fatal clinical error, which thereby makes it high impact.
Wow. So relying on the human-in-the-loop defense just isn't a guaranteed shield anymore.
Not at all. Tomorrow, this decree turns the concept of high-impact AI into a strict, auditable legal obligation. Lawyer Kungjin Kim advises that if your business operates anywhere near these gray areas, you must formally document your internal classification rationale today.
Like right now.
Right now. You must have a legally sound, written defense of why you believe your system is not high impact before the government comes asking.
Because if you don't, or if the government reviews your summarizer and decides your internal classification was wrong, the burden of proof is entirely on you, the business operator, to defend it.
And if you lose that argument and your classification gets overturned, the penalty is far more severe than just a standard regulatory fine.
Right.
This is the most critical point for anyone deploying AI. If a system is retroactively classified as high impact and you haven't been following the strict transparency and consent protocols required for that tier, the absolute legality of all the user data you've processed up to that point is invalidated.
That's the concept of algorithmic disgorgement, right?
Right.
If your initial data processing is deemed non-compliant under the new classification, every piece of user data you ingested, and potentially the model weights that were trained or fine-tuned on that specific data, become legally toxic.
Yes. Your foundational data set is poison from a legal standpoint. You might be forced to delete the core intellectual property of your business and start completely over. It is an existential regulatory threat.
That is terrifying. Let's synthesize everything we've uncovered today, because the velocity of this market shift is truly unprecedented. In a single 24-hour news cycle, we've seen the price of top-tier luxury AI reasoning double with Anthropic's Fable 5. We've seen Chinese open weights like Kimi K3 prove they can compete for pennies on the dollar using intense architectural efficiency.
Yeah.
We've analyzed the Wall Street paradox, where TSMC's $64 billion expansion couldn't stop a semiconductor bear market because investors realized cheap open weights destroy hyperscaler margins. And finally, we're watching a hard, unforgiving legal deadline land on businesses in Korea, turning theoretical safety debates into strict compliance mandates.
It's a lot to take in, but whether you are a developer frantically rewriting prompts to minimize Fable 5 output costs, an investor reevaluating the five-year thesis on semiconductors, or a compliance officer documenting your high-impact AI rationale today, the takeaway is identical.
What's the main takeaway?
The AI industry has officially transitioned out of the pure technology race. The underlying science works. We are now in the era of ruthless economic optimization and stringent legal reality.
Wow. We've spent this entire deep dive looking at how open-weight models are democratizing access by making intelligence 99% cheaper. And we've seen how that empowers a massive wave of young, 90s-born founders to build without waiting for permission from Silicon Valley. But if governments worldwide are simultaneously shifting the immense legal burden of high-impact AI compliance entirely onto the businesses deploying the technology, it raises a really critical question for you to mull over.
Yeah, what's the hidden cost?
Exactly. Does the radically cheap computational cost of an open source model actually become a massive hidden legal liability for the startups trying to use them? If the technology is virtually free, but the legal cost of proving it is safe enough to deploy, could bankrupt a young company who actually benefits from the open source revolution?
That's the real question.
It is something to analyze deeply as you audit your own AI stack and your regulatory exposure this week. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the market data. Look for the mechanics behind the paradoxes, and we'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow China AI, Robotics, and Semiconductor Briefing on Apple Podcasts.